For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this, what is it, the 8th? No, it's seventh day.
Yeah, Monday.
It's Monday. That's, yeah. You hear that? Okay. She'll always answer for me. Okay. That's right. When someone says happy birthday to me, she'll say thank you. Yeah. When my wife calls, she answers. Yeah. This is our producer tonight, the man on the board.
Good evening, Pastor. How are you tonight?
Is Lenny.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Already.
Great to be back with you, Pastor.
It's good to have you back. It's been a long time. I met your very, very pretty wife tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
She's a lovely lady.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Here, she's called Lock and Load Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
She's been waiting all day to say that. She's been practicing that. Do it again.
Good evening, everyone.
Hey, that sounded great, Lisa.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
All righty. Now, way out yonder in Missouri, he's a legend. He's a legend. The Parson, Joe Larson.
And I fit right in with the rest of this crazy crew, I think.
All righty. Listen.
Hey, God chose us, but, you know, it's not our fault we're here.
Yep, that's right. We'll blame it on God.
He didn't because he chose and called us.
All right, well, listen, we better get to work because God's listening, isn't he?
Always.
All right, and he's given us a mission, so we better get after that mission. And the title of the message was, do you remember what the title of the message was, Joe?
What you don't know, which is a lot, can leave you burning in hell.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Do you know where I found that out at? Right there in the Bible.
Right in the Bible, of all places.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Anyhow, let's start in Psalm 19, and let's take it a couple of verses at a time, and then we'll do some commentary, all right?
All right.
All right, so start with verse 1.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
And so, what is he talking about there? He's talking about God's infinite, infinite power and variety and complexity seen in all the stars. But,
even more, just you look at our solar system, you look at the way the Earth revolves around, the planets revolve around the sun, the tilt of the earth, the speed of the revolution. There's this weird balance that kind of goes closer and farther and wobbles, and yet it maintains this perfect balance of life on Earth. If things were different in the slightest, to tilt other things in our path around, life couldn't be possible on this planet. It's uniquely held in this little niche.
You're kind of
really close tolerance.
You're kind of talky tonight, aren't you? Listen, what about when it said it showeth his handiwork? That is referring to someone in particular.
Jesus.
Uh-huh. That's right. Christ the Creator, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So what about that handiwork? Would that include you and I?
Well, we'd be part of that. The stars, the constellations, everything is his handiwork.
But we wouldn't be the, the number one part of that, would we?
In a way, mankind is, because we are unique in the universe. The rest is non-living. It's beautiful and balanced, but we are unique. So, yeah, we would be kind of on the top of the list.
And then we have no doubts at all that we're mankind, right? I mean, we know we're mankind. We're not any of those other things that they have nowadays,
no,
are we?
No, no.
All right,
we are definitely mankind.
Okay. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto light showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So what do you think that is all about?
There's no place where the voice of the prophets or the pastors is not heard. The voice of God is not heard.
Well, wait a minute. Let's take a look back here. Let's go back to verse 2. Day unto day uttereth speech, night into night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. He's talking about all of creation is speaking
right
to the people,
okay,
and the creation is speaking. It's shouting out, we have a creator, right? I mean,
oh yeah, it screams creation, yeah.
Then it says, their line is gone out through all the earth, the words to the end of the world, in them hath it set a tabernacle for sons. So now here, this is really interesting, because that line, you know, he's referring to as a measuring line. So he's measuring line throughout all the earth. Now the words to the end of the world. So now he's talking about creation is making testimony. Now listen to this. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the S-U-N, for the S-U-N. Now, so the tabernacle there, is that word tabernacle means tent, doesn't it?
Yes.
So how has he set a tent for the sun, for the S-U-N?
No, it would be a covering. It's covered by his glory, power.
Well, actually, the sun's kind of, the universe is kind of surrounding the sun, isn't it?
Well, yes, because we're kind of in the middle of things.
So it's kind of a covering for the sun, in a sense, isn't it?
Hadn't thought of it that way, yeah.
Well,
I was
that's
thinking
what,
all the flares that come off the sun, all those solar flares, but would be kind of a covering.
So now here he's doing something here. You're seeing the S-U-N and the S-O-N spoken of together yet separately at the same time in two areas. He goes, what? Which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. So now he's referring to the S-U-N in his tent, and now he says, which is as a bridegroom, which is as a bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom?
Christ.
Coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. So now, what is it that that is coming forth, that is radiant from both the S-O-N and the S-U-N, there's one thing that comes forth.
Light.
It's light.
One is the physical light we need. The other is the light of the world, which is the life of the world.
Yeah, very good. You're right. Okay. So then he says here, the law of the Lord is perfect. Well, wait, I didn't read number six.
No, six.
His going forth is from end of a heaven, his circuit into the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And so here, he's talking about what?
He is everywhere. He is going forth from the one end of heaven to the other, the circuit, and there's nothing hidden from his, well, it says the word heat would be his energy, his presence.
That's what he's talking about.
So it would put off light and heat and energy.
Right. So he's referring to actually the heat that's coming from the S-U-N.
N.
Okay. But when he's referring to his, okay, in other words, the S-U-N belongs to who?
Him. He controls it.
The S-O-N, huh?
Yeah, the S-O-N controls the S-U-N, but they both have power, light, and energy. God has to have energy. He's all-powerful, so he has to be energy himself like the sun. There's a big comparison there.
All right, so he goes on, the law of the Lord is perfect. Let's see. Oh, converting.
Converting the soul, yeah.
And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So while the revelation in God's creation will condemn the soul, only the written revelation can convert or restore the soul. And so how do you think that works?
The law convicts, but at the same time, the perfect law convicts, then understanding we're sinners, that we need a Savior, brings us to what? Repentance and salvation.
Right. So the emphasis there is on the regenerating power of the Scriptures,
yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
The testimony
of the, word.
The testimony of the Lord.
The word.
Right. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, when we talk about God's word here, not only is God's word, the King James Bible, the most credible explanation for all of creation, it is the absolute perfect and authoritative declaration of God himself. Do you know who it was that said that, Joe?
God.
No, it was me. I just said it just here. I had
the
that in my message.
Him. Oh, I thought the words came from him and you were just preaching his word.
Well, actually, in many different ways, he has said that throughout the scripture about his word being perfect.
Yeah, in different ways. Yeah, not in those exact words, but the meaning was there.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Now listen. When we say the statutes of the Lord are right, what is the significance of the word right? What does it mean there?
Correct. They're perfect. They're just right for everything we need.
Okay, so but throughout the scripture, the word right is represented, when the Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, and David sits at the right hand of Jesus, when in Matthew 25, when Jesus took those on his right, and they inherited
right
the kingdom.
Salvation. The right hand is salvation.
Well, it's salvation, but it's more than salvation. It's a place of authority and power. Authority and power.
Okay.
So the statutes of the Lord are his authority, his power, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening our eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Boy, I'm going to tell you, here he's making a very, very clear point that these words being used, how, when we take a look at our society today, do you see anything in our society that would include the use of these words in our society today, whether it be in business, whether it be in the media, especially in the judicial? Do we see anything in there which talks about the statutes of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is clean? Do we see anything, especially in the American Library Association, has to do with anything with clean today, okay?
No. Only you got to go clear back to the founders and the Constitution. You would find out that everything was based on God's Ten Commandments and the teaching of the New Testament, which is the gospel. But the mankind left it kind of back there shortly after the conception of the nation.
Okay, so the things that are right, things that are clean, things that are true, are things that are to be desired, more to be desired are they than gold, yet much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So are all of these things that we just mentioned more desirable to us and to probably the vast majority of the people listening to us tonight than gold or silver?
Yes, because gold and silver cannot buy salvation. But understanding the law, the statutes, and the fear of the Lord helps us come to call unto Him for salvation.
Wouldn't it have also
the name of the Lord, right?
Wouldn't it have a general application of just our society, where we would like to go back to a clean society, a truthful, a pure society? Today, when we take a look at drag queens and we look at what's on the left-wing media, we look at all these trans things that are happening out there, the LGBTQ, wouldn't we just want to get back to something that's clean?
Yeah, oh, everybody I talk to would like to get back to the old-fashioned morals and manners, you know, respect and kindness and honesty, integrity. They are begging, pleading for it. Everybody would just love to see it go back that way.
Keep thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. So he's telling us that here, what will not have dominion over us?
Sin.
Sin. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And so,
clear, because God knows what every word we speak, every thought we have. And so the psalmist is saying, let my thoughts and words and, you know, be clean and acceptable. And the Lord is my Redeemer King.
Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 11. Read me verses 33 through 36.
33 through 36. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen.
All right, so here, in the depths of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now, who is he speaking to there? He's speaking about who? Speaking about God, but specifically to the second person of the Trinity.
Oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, in that sense. Okay, yeah.
We know this because it does say, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So that would include the Trinity. But then he says this, for who hath known the mind of the Lord?
Lord, that's
and that always refers to Christ, huh?
Yeah, well, we hadn't gotten that far. Well, just looking at 33, you wouldn't have weren't sure till you see 34, yeah.
Okay, so all wisdom, all knowledge is found in Christ because he is the creator, he is the sustainer, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We find that over in Proverbs 1:7, also in Proverbs 9:10.
But it gives me one thought. The Father orders, the Son carries out. So in a way, the Father is kind of the counselor of the Son, isn't he?
Yeah.
In a way.
Well,
the Son has all knowledge and power, too, but God is the one who gives the orders. The Father gives the orders.
Well, in a sense, when you talk about God, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all were contained in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, so then you have, obviously, the wisdom, because the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were eternal. They all existed at the same time.
Right.
And so now when it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath seen, been his counselor,
nobody counseled him on anything. There was no one capable, no thing, no one.
So he's referring to the awareness and comprehension of something today that you will not find in any of the mainstream media. It's called facts. You won't find that. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Or knowledge or truth or a few other things.
Well, they've replaced knowledge, truth, especially truth, with something called the narrative.
Okay? Narrative, yeah.
That's what they
want things to be.
Yeah. And so apart from the intervention of the Holy Spirit, man's intelligence is completely insufficient to even begin to discern God's judgment. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, who could be his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him. In other words, can we teach God anything?
No.
No?
No.
It'd be hard, wouldn't it? Because he knows
hard,
what we're...
I mean, hard is not the right word. It'd be just incomprehensible that we could teach God anything.
And so here, in 1 Corinthians 1:22, the world by his wisdom knew not God. So all of God's gifts to man are by grace. God needs nothing in return for man. All things are sustained, Joe, and held together by the word of his power. God is self-existent. God is pre-existent. He has ultimate power. And the left thinks they can destroy him.
Eternal presence and all knowledge, all power, all presence. I mean, what?
Remember, these people that don't know what a woman is, they're going to destroy God. Now, they, I'll never forget looking at the placards they were carrying that says, when Christ returns, we'll kill him again. Boy, are they in for a rude awakening.
Yes.
Yep. In fact, we've got a great article to start things off with that in mind. We can when we start that part of the program, the World Economic Forum and the United Nations think they can replace God in his Bible, his word.
For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom the glory is forever. Amen. And we'll be back right after this.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you have
haven't done one thing you said you'd do. Well, even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight rays? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember.
I'll remember.
In November.
In November.
As I step into a little booth, I'll remember.
All right, we're back. And you know what I remember, Joe? Your son has surgery tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, what we need to do is we need to recruit all the listeners out there from coast to coast and ask, because this surgery is serious surgery, to ask for them to join. And would you lead a prayer for your son? God loves it when fathers pray for their children.
Sure would. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, you know all the details of what's wrong, but my son Wes has a serious back injury and is needing repair and going into surgery first thing in the morning, I think about 6 o'clock, and for some major rebuild and repair. And Lord, I would just ask that you be with the doctor guiding and directing his hands and the staff working, and that you would just provide your healing power and strength to Wes, and that the surgery be successful and he'd be able to return to his job, which is his own business, and be able to continue working to support his wife and children, my grandchildren, and that you would just see to the outcome, Father. We just put it into your precious, capable hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, and I thank all you folks who prayed with Pastor Joe. I'm going to lead in prayer, too, because tomorrow we have an election. Well, it's not an election. Tomorrow we have an issue, number one, on the ballot, issue one on the ballot. It's the only issue on the ballot, and it's extremely important, Joe, because here, those of us that are in favor of this, we're in favor of this because if they get that passed, no. I mean, if we don't get it passed, if it fails tomorrow, then we're going to have to deal with radical trans ideology in our schools, sex change operation for kids without any parental involvement at all, Joe, abortion on demand even after the baby's born, killed it, and destroy the rights of parents to protect their own children. It is right from hell. Okay, now, when people say, well, now those people that are going to vote no aren't bad people. They just disagree. That's a lie. They're bad people. They're wicked people. And if you tell me that you're going to vote no, I'm going to tell you this is what you just told me about yourself. You just told me about yourself. One, you don't believe in God. All those that hate God love death. So you just told me you hate God. Two, you just told me you don't think I should have the right to have any parental rights with my children or their children. You just told me that you have no problem with these young girls, 15-year-old girls, having their breasts cut off, and then, as we're going to talk about some of this, suffering the rest of their lives. You just told me that you've got no problem with the child sex trafficking. And so what you just told me, if you tell me you're voting no, you just told me you're a very, very wicked, evil person. And I would tell you it would be good for you to stay away from me, because every time I see you, I'm going to remind you just how wicked and how ungodly and how unclean God's word, the Bible, says you are. That's what I would tell him. What do you think, Joe? Am I opinionated?
I think they better stay away from you, or they're going to get heaven sweet and hell hot.
Absolutely, folks. Listen, what we're talking about is very, very serious, and you need to get out to vote tomorrow. You need to vote yes, yes, yes. Yes means you're pro-life. Yes means you're pro-God. Yes means you're pro-Second Amendment. And I didn't even bring that in, but they want to take away our guns, too. And so you must get out tomorrow. You must vote yes. Now, we're going to have a battle in November regardless, but it'll be much, much less if we win tomorrow. We've got to win this tomorrow. And so I remember these signs that I see in people's yard. That sign tells me when they say vote no, what kind of people they are. And I'm going to tell, because some of you know that I go by, and sometimes you're out in the yard. You better hope I don't stop. There you go. All right. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, right now I just would pray, Lord, that you would come against the wickedness, this darkness, this evil, this hatred for you, hatred for life. And Father God, Lord, that you would come against, because we know by their very nature, the deep state, the Democrats tomorrow, we know by their very nature are going to, they'll have voter fraud. They're going to do everything they can. They lie, they steal, they cheat, because that's what they're all about. And so, Lord, we just would ask that you would come against the darkness, come against that darkness, Lord, and that you would bring those wicked people, Lord, every single one of them, Lord, out there, those that I see the signs vote no in their yard, Lord God, that you would bring those wicked people, every one of those wicked people, to repentance, Lord God, because I know they don't believe in you, but Lord, we do know that unless they repent, as the Lord Jesus said, you will burn. So Lord, I pray that you teach them to learn not to burn. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 There you go. Well, Joe,
I think you made that clear how important that election is, because a lot of states follow suit. When something starts on a good foot, other states take off, and quite often if something devil wins, it carries over to other states also.
Yeah, well, there's five other states in line, and this is why they're looking to see in Ohio. We've got to win on that, because if we win here, that's going to show the other states they can beat them too. So you got to, Joe, by the way, do you know who Madrigal Borlase is?
I'm afraid I do. He is a United Nations expert. He's an expert on sexual orientation.
He's a fool, Joe. He's an absolute fool, but go ahead.
Well, he is a world's expert, but he's a radical leftist communist.
He's a world-class fool.
And a world-class fool. And he's come out with the idea, teaching in the UN, that religious freedom is not incompatible with LGBT theology. And he said that compatibility comes when faith standards, in other words, Christian standards, because I see Christianity as the only real religion in the world. The others are all fake. And Christ is the only thing that upsets the world, not the other religions. He's saying that Christianity has to become subservient to the sexual political agenda that the world is embracing, and they're pushing this that we have to accept all of the things that they're claiming, and that Christianity is really, he says more complicated words, but he's saying Christianity is a blatant violation of religious freedom, and religious beliefs and traditions must be subservient to the LGBT ideology and the UN agenda. Yep.
Well,
and that our words are considered hate speech and incitement to violence.
Well, in my opinion, Joe, Madrigal Borlase is in for an extremely rude awakening. And so,
extremely. For eternity, he will regret what he has been trying to teach, promote, and encourage the world to do. He will have eternity to regret it.
He is going to find out in no uncertain terms, that there are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. You see, even though he don't believe now in God, he will soon. And unless he repents, and turns away from that stupidity, boy, he'll have all of eternity to regret it, huh?
Yes, and if you think we're being extremist or worried about something that, who is this guy? Don't worry, it's no big deal. Well, the World Economic Forum, working in conjunction with the United Nations, they are calling for religious scripture to be rewritten by artificial intelligence to create a globalized new Bible. Yuval Noah Harari, a senior advisor to the World Economic Forum and its chairman, Klaus Schwab, says that the AI will replace scriptures to get this. Create unified religions, plural, that are actually correct. In other words, he wants to take all the religions in the world, shove them into a computer, and it will produce the correct religion for the world. The power of AI can be harnessed to reshape spirituality into the World Economic Forum's globalist vision of equity, remember, equity, equal outcome, and inclusivism. And it goes on, he brags about how it can create new ideas. Hey, the Bible, there's not a single new page in the Gutenberg Bible. There's no new ideas in the Bible. You know, how can it be that there's nothing new there, and we need new thoughts, new ideas in the world, Pastor, a new Bible. Oh, wow.
Well, he too, Yuval too, is a world-class fool, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what God's Word, the Bible, says. So listen, if God
thinking
calls you a fool,
Romans,
are you indeed in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Very much.
So when God calls you a fool, there's no argument left, is there?
No. There is, these people, there is no argument.
In Ecclesiastes 10:2, it says that a fool will turn to his left, doesn't it? And then it says,
yeah.
It says that he that is a fool will tell everyone he meets that he's a fool. Is that not what Harari just has done?
Exactly. Like Romans 1:22, professing himself to be wise, they became as fools. And it goes on talking about how they are, you know, just basically wicked, evil, stupid, and that pretty much covers it, I think, in a brief.
Oh, I got to make an announcement here. Here in Ohio on Wednesday, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who has been a real champion for the causes of health, and she's been out there and educating people against the COVID. She's on the enemy's list, Big Pharma's Big Pharma Kia's enemies list, along with all the frontline doctors. And she is, they're going to try to take her license away from her because she's a threat. She's a threat. She's exposed. Now, here in Columbus, they have the state medical board owned. All of these state medical boards are pretty much owned by Big Pharma. They're owned. They're owned. And so they're going to take her license away. Now, you know what? I'm kind of in this here. I kind of would encourage all the frontline doctors not to wait, just to take their license, take them down there and dump them on these state medical boards and say, you know what? You've got no credibility. The AMA has come out and said that they will no longer put male or female on birth certificates because they're not sure if there are two genders. Well, you see, that tells me that these people have lost all credibility and that they're fools, okay? So I would encourage all of the frontline doctors to take your license, take it down there, dump it on them, and start your own medical board. You need to do it with legitimate people that can be trusted because the state medical boards,
those people,
they have lost. Now, if you want to call and file a complaint, you can call tomorrow and complain because when they answer, they're going to say, well, state medical board, we're taking complaints. And say, I want to complain against you. I want to complain against you for going after Dr. Tenpenny, who's had a just an absolute perfect reputation. And she's known nationwide. I've known her probably for 30 years or more. And so here's the number you can call. And let them know how you feel. Let them know that you think, too, that maybe we should start a separate medical board, one that is not owned by Big Pharma. Now, folks,
is this just the Ohio Medical Board?
Yeah, this is the Ohio Medical Board at 30 East Broad Street. On the third floor in Columbus. They're having this hearing Wednesday morning, I think at 9 o'clock. And here's the... Now, you can do this. You can call at 614-466-3934. That's 614-466-3934. Or you can email... You can email them at complaints@med.ohio.gov. That's complaints@med.ohio.gov. And, you know, I would just call them and tell them that you are going after a woman with an impeccable reputation. And you know what? You have not disproven anything that you say she has stated any statements that she said that we're wrong. You have not done that. So let them know. My complaint is against you. And again, it's complaints@med.ohio.gov. That's complaints@med.ohio.gov. And
I hope you shut down their phone lines. We've done that in the past. Our listeners have called before when we've asked them to do something. In fact, there was one time we shut down the phones in Washington for hours.
Yeah, we did.
And that gives a strong message. So all of you listeners out there, you can call from any state because this, if it starts there in Ohio, it'll carry over to the other frontline doctors in other states. And,
yeah.
And, you know, it'll just, it'll give them the impetus to want to go after these other guys that we've hold very special to us. And so it's really important to do this. Call and shut down their phone lines. Go ahead and use the email. Just let them know, Ohio. That will bring a great deal of pressure.
Well, the Bible's very, very clear. Those who show mercy will receive it. And those that... And she needs the support of the saints right now. Those who support her, when the time comes, God will always honor your commitment and righteousness. And so when the time comes where they need help, God will have somebody there, won't he?
Mm-hmm. He will. The others will rally around them.
I know that's been the way in my life. When I when I went out and I started fighting that horrible, horrible sin of abortion way back in the beginning, and I wasn't even aware that there were any such thing as lawyers for life. And I went, when I ended up in court in there, I wasn't alone. God sent his people in there to defend me. And time after time after time after time again. And when I was the only one arrested for saving babies, for being out there preaching in front of the bloody abortion mills, because you see, one of the things that the bloody abortion mills do is they need to find dirty cops. If they can find dirty cops, you know, they'll say, you know, let's pay these cops, get out there and arrest them. Now, I found out this, that just about for every dirty cop, there's probably two that aren't, two that are good and clean. And
more even some places.
And what's happened in my cases, Joe, when the dirty cops got after me, I got after them. And the clean cops showed up to help me out. And so there, it shows you right there, if you take a stand for what's right, God will be with you in it. And so, yeah, we've had many, many cases. Now, in those cases, Joe, where I could defend myself, I could, if I was the only one with my own venue, and I did it with the only Bible that you can defend yourself with, because it's a authorized book of law, is the King James Bible. It is the only authorized book of law by a sovereign nation, and it's the only one that most all of these courts will allow you to use to defend yourself. 15 minutes of this King James Bible, and they want you just out of that courtroom. They just want you to, except for in one case, I had a judge tell me that she says, I want to know the whole story from the beginning to the end with your conversation with this individual. And Joe, that took almost an hour.
Because you were preaching out of the Bible, so you covered everything you preached, right?
Well, that's right, because my conversation was about heaven and hell. This fellow called me wanting some help, and I asked him if he was saved. He said, I don't have time for this. He said, I'm in big trouble with the police. And that's when I preached him on hell and then heaven, both. And so it took the whole time, and that judge sat there for the entire time and listened to every word, and my lawyer sat there with his mouth open. He said, all my years, I've never seen anything like this. And guess what? It ended in our favor, because this fellow who he was being charged with theft and impersonating a cop. He was a young guy who was slow, and he found a high up police officer's wallet, and he found it on a sidewalk in front of a whorehouse, and he took that wallet because they took the money and they left the badge. And he took it in there, and he decided he was going to play police officer, even though he was in his teens. He was slow. And a regular cop at the YMCA saw him lay the badge down there on the counter in the bathroom and recognized who it belonged to and arrested him on the spot and for theft and impersonating a police officer. And that's how he ended up in court, and that's how he, I don't know what, how, why he called me. But he called me, and so I never did find out where he must have been off the radio. But it ended up very, very well for him. But there's some good news today. Judge Aileen Cannon comes out swinging and delivers a blow to Jack Smith in his classified documents case. Liberals scream for her dismissal afterwards. So let me read a little bit of this, okay? Judge Aileen Cannon in the Southern District of Florida Federal Court delivered a blow to special counsel and very corrupt. In fact, Smith is known for trying to come up with new variations of the law. In other words, testing things that haven't been tested before. Very, very, and this guy is actually known amongst the corrupt lawyers. I mean, they actually refer to this guy as being over the top. And that special counsel Jack Smith's inquisition against President Trump's regarding the classified documents case in their possession or in their process, she also caused the liberals to go into unhinged meltdowns where they demanded her dismissal. Previous reports on her coverage can be found here and here. A previously covered by Christina Layla, Cannon was appointed to oversee the classified documents case to the chagrin of the communists everywhere. More examples of her coverage can be found here and here. So there you go. That's some good news, isn't it?
Yes, it's very good news. Usually the truth comes out way late. Now it's going to be coming out a lot sooner on a lot of things, and that is one of the blessings.
Well,
I want to back up if I can. We got time. We were talking about the AI. They're wanting to create a Bible. UNESCO, which is part of the United Nations, designated the town, the biblical town of Jericho, as a Palestinian heritage site. So we can see what the UN is doing. This is going to be a threat to Israel's security, because that means that the UNESCO, the UN, will cite the location, as this fictitious state of Palestine. They will actually then be in control of it. And just the idea that they're going along with the Palestinians and going against Israel. This is an important thing that's happening. And remember, this goes back to Joshua and Elijah the prophet, and against Judaism and Christianity. And again, it's just more of an attack on anybody of faith in God.
Well, you know what people that are biblically literate understand? They understand the timeline. They understand exactly where we're at. They understand that we're right there spoken to of the days of sorrow in Matthew chapter 24. We see in Romans chapter 1, we're seeing how everything is as prophesied. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it really lays it out very, very clear. And not only does it lay it out very clearly, but it tells you the timeline that when you see these things, when you see this, you'll know it is the last days.
Days.
Now,
yep.
Earlier it said about later days or later times, but this refers specifically to the last part of the sixth dispensation period, doesn't it?
So, it sure does. It tells you, and then you were correct on something else. You've been telling people for more years than I can remember. They want to get rid of people. They want to depopulate the world. Well, we've got the World Economic Forum again. One of their celebrated members, Dennis Meadows, author. He's one of the authors of the Club of Rome's depopulation book. He is an honorary member of the Club of Rome and a member of the World Economic Forum. And his book that was published 50 years ago, they're going back to it and using it. And he's basically saying that most of the world's population must be wiped out so the survivors can have freedom and a high standard of living. And he claims that genocide of 86% of the world's population is inevitable, and that a benevolent dictatorship could accomplish the mass depopulation peacefully. Did you catch that? Mass depopulation peacefully. Now, that's what I call an oxymoron, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
Because it ain't going to happen peacefully, right?
Joe, I was sitting in their meetings in the early 80s, and I were hearing all of this back then. We're up against a hard break. When we come back, we're going to play a clip, and it's going to be very interesting. You don't want to miss this, folks. You don't want to miss this clip, so we'll be back right after this. We'll see you, and then don't go away.
Fight the fight, take the stand, light the light, feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.